Great Southern Land, what a fantastic version. Mitch Tambo on 3MDR 97.1 FM. You're listening to The Imaginary Friend Show with Pege and Elliot, here with you until 9 o'clock. And Mitch Tambo has joined us in the studio, as has Nelson of Community Nulu fame on Yarra Valley FM. Good morning, Mitch.
Yama yama, thanks for having me.
Nice to have your company in the studio. This is a treat for us having guests here on the Imaginary Friend Show at such an ungodly musician hour, I have to say. And nice to meet you, and nice to meet you too, Nelson.
Nice to meet you too, Pete. It's honour and privilege to be here, mate. I've heard a lot about you and...
oh, dear.
You know, we've got a bit of a consulting relationship with Yarra Valley FM and 3MDR, so it's really nice to be in the studio and sit in on this interview.
Fantastic. This is it. So Mitch has joined us performing next door at the Upway South Primary School. Mitch, and you thought you'd just sneak over before you do all the big setup for your performance today. And so we're going to pick Mitch Tambo's brains, all sorts of things here, music and performance. Nelson, I'm going to hand it over to you. I'll let you get a rolling.
Thanks, Pege. Yeah, we've got a few questions, Mitch. So, you know, as Pege said, it's very early in the morning. You've got a big day ahead here, so we don't want to keep you too long. But we do have a few questions for you, mate. So you're on tour at the moment with your Wallumbo Youth Tour in our area, which celebrates kids and empowerment. You talk about distressing and cultivating a positive mindset to them. Why is that so important in our world today?
Oh, my brother, you know what? I think it's giving back to the next generation is... you know, it's a must, and we're losing so many kids to suicide and different things in this world from, you know, not feeling like they have a place, and it's sort of centered around that idea of not feeling like they belong or having their identity affirmed and really feeling like, you know, they're connected to community. So for me to go in and celebrate who I am, celebrate my identity, I think it just creates an open space where kids get to rock out, but also realize it's all right to be uniquely different and uniquely made and to be yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, bros. What do you think are the biggest challenges that the Aussie kids are facing today, though?
Man, I just think, you know, there's a big disconnect there. You know, we're all, a lot of the next gen, I mean, even ourselves, got to be honest, it's mindless scrolling and not actually really connecting. And there's a way... Like, we're the most connected we've ever been, but the flip side is we're also the most disconnected as well. So I think there's a thing there of just getting out and playing and having a connection and, you know, rather than talking about Fortnite or roadblocks and all these things, actually learning about one another. And, you know, through the celebration of my culture, my language and music, it's just opening up conversations around, oh, what's your background? And, oh, you got a nonna. What's a nonna? And what kind of foods do you eat? And just... an actual human exchange is happening that's going a little bit deeper, I guess, than just the superficial of what's on, you know, TikTok.
I've heard of this thing called TikTok.
Yeah.
If it helps you, Paige, I'm only 26 and I don't have TikTok.
So. Well, I definitely have it, and you can go and follow me on there. That's all right.
But definitely that connection, especially I think through COVID, or after COVID anyway, you know, that connection was lost, not just with each other as humans, but that connection to country and connection to the land. And I think, you know, mental health, when you talk about mental health, losing that connection to both those things has taken a huge hit. Huge hit.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, you know, when you're going through those internal battles, whether it's mental health or, you know, grief and loss, the things that we just go through in life, it's pivotal to be able to just go and get on your bike and go for a ride around the block, or just go for a walk in the bush and just run along the sand barefoot and feel the water. People don't realize the actual medicine in all that stuff and what it can really do for you. So I totally feel you there, brother, 100%.
Yeah, for sure, bros. You also do some sessions with teachers who we all know work so hard. What kind of insights are you sharing with them?
Can I just say, me, like, you know, 15 years ago, would never have thought I'd be in front of teachers just telling them how they should do things, baby. But we're there. And, you know, it's amazing to be able to just hang out with teachers. You know, I've done lots of staff development, done lots of workshops this year with even health specialists, you know, cardiologists, all kinds of different people, principals conferencing. And it's just all around how to engage and work with mob, but in that experience, engage with all kinds of people from diverse backgrounds. Because the reality is, from a historical standpoint, you know, it wasn't until 1967 we had a referendum and we were classed as human beings. Up until that point, we fell under flora and fauna, which isn't that long ago. For a lot of us, it's our kids grandmother, not their great-great-grandmother, their direct grandmother that was born under those acts. So I think to just have an open conversation that's not built on pointing the finger, not built on the blame game, any of that, but just built on facts and also lived experience of what I've been through and what I've had to overcome and been subjected to, it creates a platform where you're actually building capacity and building a deeper understanding where teachers or whoever's in that workshop can just go away and reflect and go, you know what, maybe that kid's not just acting out because they don't like me. Maybe there's a systemic thing here that's transgenerational. Who knows what it is, but how can we build a community or something in the classroom where that child actually feels celebrated? And more than anything, not like celebrated is, oh, I'm unique, I need special treatment, but I just belong. I've got a place here and I'm not an outsider, but I actually belong in this classroom and this is like a home for me as well. It's a part of who I am in my community. Because let's face it, as soon as we chuck our kids in school, they spend more time there than they do at home. So I think it's really important to build that kind of capacity and build those communities where everyone has a place. And is, you know, I'm not saying you have to go out there and become an academic and know history inside out and know the experience of what it is to be a refugee firsthand. But if you can start to look outside of what you normally would and build that capacity and awareness in yourself, it flows on and it does change the dynamic in the classroom.
I think it's quite remarkable how far we've come in terms in schooling of having culture in the classrooms and teachers, and culture is at the forefront of what a lot of the students do. I finished school 10 years ago and there's, you know, I'm looking back at my time in school and as an Indigenous student, it was, you know, there were certain things, but nowhere near what is going on today. Nowhere near. It's quite special to see.
100%. I mean, I think that, you know, it's really interesting you say that, brother, because on this tour, you see it all, and it's a real eye-opener because some communities are so far ahead and doing so well, and some I feel like I've actually just stepped. Is this kind of my parents' era? I don't know. It's so diverse, and it's not about judging community for where they're at. I think it's just about meeting community where they're at and trying to service community for that need in that particular point in time. But there's definitely moments where I go, wow, this is crazy. We definitely weren't doing this in school. And then there's other times where the kids don't even know the colors of the flag and what they represent. And so it's posing questions. And I think it's just about growing and opening up. And for a lot of the schools that are there, I always say, you know, it's amazing that you fought really hard to get us in here and start to engage community, because that's a great first step, you know, is to have lived firsthand experience and invite and open up the door to mob and our people to come in and just share and just partake and build a relationship, you know.
Yeah, for sure. It's really special.
I think I'm sort of, you know, I'm even older again, Nelson, and I'm going back to the 1970s.
Do it to them.
When it was a primary school and we had no Indigenous culture at all in the classroom. Zero. Absolutely zero. It was colonialism. And in high school then it was all about, you know, Chinese dynasties.
Yeah, okay.
And things. Zero. Yeah. Zero Indigenous culture.
Yeah, I mean, education. I remember way back when, we started off probably history by colouring in Cook and started at that point.
Yeah,
and then later on, maybe colour in some naked black fellas walking around the bush. And it wasn't really much sort of value placed on our culture. It was kind of like, oh, it's NAIDOC week, let's get a cardboard cylinder and paint some dots on it. And off you sort of
went. And that was it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, now it's definitely moving forward, and you can't discount that there's a lot of unsung heroes doing some incredible work in each community, you know.
Yeah, there is a lot going on.
Yeah.
You know, that, and you don't necessarily hear about it, which is a shame.
You really get that
noisy 10%. And there's a few fear mongers in there, seem to hog the microphone considerably, taking a bit of time. So
there's incredible people. Every community I go to, you meet someone, you just go, wow, there needs to be a doco on you. That's incredible.
This
work.
Is it. Well, that's, you know, that warms the heart.
Yeah,
you know,
because,
yeah, just to find out that, yeah, thank goodness, you know, it's there. That's there. Yeah, Nelson? Mm.
Yeah, well, It's as you said, I think communities, I was very lucky. I grew up over in Hillsville, which is where Corindirk is. So I think for me, maybe I was a little bit in a bubble of Indigenous culture was celebrated in Hillsville a little bit more. But no, I definitely, absolutely, there are some communities who haven't had the luxury of that, I suppose.
Totally. Like, I mean, I go back home now to where I grew up, Tamworth, the surrounding area, and our culture is so embedded. It's just wild. Kids are learning language. You know, you look on the hopscotch court and it's all in our language, the numbers, there's just 1,000 things, you know, everything's in language, and you just, you're blown away because, yeah, you travel to some communities and there's nothing. And that's not necessarily because no one wants to do anything. There's been a loss. There's a lot of fracture. There's a lot of, you know, things that are still being brought back. And you go, yeah, I'm really blessed to have grown up where I grew up because I didn't realize how immersed I really was. You know?
Oh, that sounds great, Mitch. For those that have just joined us, we're chatting with Mitch Tambo, Indigenous performer, who's performing at the primary school next door and has been kind enough to pop into the Forest Park Homestead Studios. And we have Nelson from Community Nunulu on Yarra Valley FM. Can we just go back to that first song that we opened up with, Mitch, Great Southern Land, which is a cover version. You sang verses in language there. Can you just talk us through that a little bit?
How would you like me to talk you through it?
In English, if you wouldn't mind.
Look, it's a song that got put on the table over and over and over and over again. And it was just like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, we got a call one day to say, look, Ivor Davies has greenlit you and we'd love you to do a version of it. And
okay,
I said, okay, cool, let's rock. When do you want it by? And they said Monday morning. And I was in no Sydney pressure. At Randwick Racecourse about to do an event. I rang the producer and said, look, I need to do this. And they're like, when? I said, well, as soon as I get back, we're going to turn this around. I rang my aunt, who I work heavily with learning the lingo and everything, and said, we've got to do it. So we did it and gave it to them on time and just put our fingers crossed very tight. And they said, man, we love it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then Regan jumped on and we did a duet version. And then Ice House reached out and said, look, we want you to do it with us at MCG for Cricket T20. And so I sung a verse and we collabed on that. So it's been a crazy journey. And it's great, too, because, I mean, the song itself, it's a very much a celebration of the spirit of the land and spirit of place and what we're all very connected to. So, no, it was good to do it.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Nelson, you got some more questions?
I do have some more questions. Throw it back. I love it.
No, Nelson, can I just say, Hillsville is beautiful, brother. I don't know you from there. Because Uncle Murrindindi, he blessed me one of my balir feathers, first of all, black cockatoo feathers, and I've been out there a bit. Actually, before I was really picked up in music, I used to play yiraki for Jitty Jitties. All the time with Mandy and their mobs. A shout out. I've been here quietly, you know, respectful of Wurundjeri mob, the Kulin Nation, just to play my bit.
I actually work with a Jitty Jitty.
Do you?
Sam Piper, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, deadly. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Cool, cool.
So, no, Hills was beautiful, brother. Yeah, my family, you know, we're I'm a Tunnerong man, so that's over the Great Dividing Range. And, but anyway, when Corranderk, 1860s, all that, we were moved there and my family's essentially been there since. So I've been very lucky and fortunate to grow up in that beautiful country.
Yeah, beautiful. We actually, when the sisters first welcomed me properly on country, they took me out past Hillsville to the massive trees.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible moment.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some beautiful trees out there, bro.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so with the performance today,
yes,
for some kids, it's going to be like attending their first ever concert. Mm. What's that reaction like?
Can I give you the honest, uncensored opinion?
Of course.
It's wild, bro. I've been trampled twice.
Wow.
I'm not lying. I've jumped in. I've jumped in the crowd and everyone's got around me. No escape. And I'm just completely trampled. I lose my footing and it's just done and dusted. And it's not high school kids either. Primary school numbers, man. It's a lot of strength in numbers. I've had Benners trampled, stage rushed. I've had a split lip. It's gotten wild. And then I've also had some incredible deep moments of reflection too. Because, you know, the beautiful thing about this experience, it's not just about having a concert, it's about also sharing. And I've been able to just have moments where I share about things I've been through as well, whether it's grief and loss or whatever it may be. And if it's even not in that moment, there's moments that happen where kids will reach out a couple of weeks later and say, man, thank you so much for sharing that because I'm actually facing that right now and I really appreciate it. And it's also amazing too that, you know, we do create a party atmosphere. Like it's full on. My ear's actually a bit sore on the right because it was so full on last week in Sydney. But for that whole hour, kids are just singing back to me in lingo. Mm. Every nationality you can think of. And we're just partying and there's a real exchange. So that's what's going to happen today. And I always say, you know, any parents out there that are listening, pack an extra water bottle today. It's about to get real up in here. All right, we're in the mountain district, baby, and we're about to take the kids to the mountain tops today.
Good advice from Mitch Tambo there.
And it is crazy. Looking at your socials and that, the kids are going ballistic. So
it's been
pretty crazy for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very, very curious to know. So as someone who I love music myself and like a lot of people do, very wanting to know your musical influences and what was your first concert?
First concert? I think it was Powderfinger or John Butler. Okay. I didn't go to a concert till like late teens or something. It was one of those two because they come to Tammy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, they're coming. They're big. I've never listened to them in my life. Let's go. It was like that. And what was the other question?
Your musical influences.
Man, it's really interesting because when it comes to my music, I haven't been influenced. Like, of course, unconsciously you are from what you grew up around and all that kind of thing. But my biggest influence and the thing that's driven me to do this whole thing is just my culture. You know, like coming back to what you said, growing up in Hillsville for yourself, me and Tammy, regardless of the classroom, I grew up in a very strong cultural community. And I was blessed that from about the age 14 to be immersed in that nonstop until I moved, of learning what we call our Darya Gummel, which translates to our old lore, and learning our Yuga Yuligi, our song and dance, and all of those beautiful stories. And that's from about 14, honestly. It was like a fire was lit inside my spirit. And I just couldn't escape it for the rest of my life. And I just knew that forever, all I wanted to do was to share and learn who I am. And it didn't matter what format. It just happened that I had a friend that said, man, you should do music. You'd be great. I said, what? Are you mad? He goes, what are you talking about? I said, but I can't do music. And he said, brother, you play a mean didge. You beatbox and you play this drum. I think you'd be great. So I said, you buy me the gear. You set it. I'll buy the gear, sorry. And you set it up for me and I'll do it. And he did it. And in 7 days... I just made the choice I'd sing because I felt it was reflective of who I am, you know, as opposed to didge is very universal to a lot of people, even though we know it's predominantly top end. And I sung, and then all of a sudden that's the album that's gone all around the world. It's pretty crazy how things have worked out. But if you ask me what I wanted to do then to now, I'm essentially living that dream, and that's just practicing and living and sharing culture. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Mm. That's pretty special, eh, Pedge?
It most certainly is. Yeah, I'm imagining the kids' faces next door when you're performing.
We shouldn't talk it up too much. We should be talking it down a little bit.
They're going to have a great time, Mitch. Don't worry about it. We'll set the bar high.
And, yeah, you know, set it high.
You'll fly right over it, mate.
I hope so.
You'll fly right over it.
Yeah, for sure. Just a couple more, Mitch. Couple more. Good, yeah. So what exciting plans do you have in the future? Any upcoming projects or collaborations on the horizon?
There certainly is. I mean, there's one in particular. It's funny because, you know, we say we're most connected, we're disconnected, all this, but I am on TikTok. I'm across all socials. And, you know, through COVID, obviously the best thing was online to some degree because it kept us all together. And we come up with this project called Tambo Jams. And basically all it was me being bored, saying, man, I just want to jam some didge. I got to do something. I'm going nuts. So what we did is I jammed didge to like every genre you can think of. It's like hip-hop beats. There's country hip-hop. Beats,
oh, this sounds pretty
dance,
cool.
There's reggae, there's everything, and I jammed it, and a few went off. A few had like, I think on Facey over 3 point something mil, and TikTok 1 point something, and team was just like, "You want to release them?" I was like, "Yeah, but that's a lot of work." And we're like, "No, let's just drop them raw. No one does that anymore." Mm. So we're dropping a 60-track mixtape next month.
What? Wow. Did Tambo you say Jams. 60? Not
yeah,
16,
and, there, and
six
I'm just going to put it out there. There will be a volume 2. We did a lot of tracks. So the 60 is the first drop, just Tambo Jams, we're getting it next month. All didge meets all different, every genre.
How do people find it, Mitch?
They find it by, it will be dropped on Spotify, it will be across, it will be on, you know, available as every sound you can use in all your content across TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, it'll be across everything you can think of. There will be video content to it. We're just
will
going
people be able to
fun.
Buy it, Mitch?
You'll be able to buy it across iTunes.
Yep.
It will be free, it will be all, everything. Yeah.
Oh, I guess if you can afford it, why not?
If you can afford it, you should probably do it. Look after the artist, you know. But
you've got to eat too, yeah?
Yeah, I've got to eat too. You know, it costs money to put out these tracks. Oh, no, but look, it's I'm really pumped. 60 tracks, one drop. You don't really hear of that anymore.
This information will be on your website, Mitch.
It will be there. You can get it at mitchtambo.com.
That's the one.
So I'm really pumped for it, man. And you'll hear it. Some of the stuff, it's you just go, wow, this actually hits pretty hard. I can't believe it. Yeah.
So you've been playing the ditch. Yeah. When did you first pick up the
ditch?
I've
always had one sort of floating around the house since a really young boy.
Yep.
But around that age, 14, 15, where I just started to go for it is when I picked it up and said, let's do it. And from then I haven't put it down.
Yep.
And it's been crazy. I've taken it all around the world. In one place in particular, I went to Rome to do the canonization of St. Mary MacKillop.
Oh, wow.
To lead the processions and stuff around mob. And I was going into security for the canonization, had the didge on the back, the hierarchy, and they just grabbed it and chucked it in the bin. Security, they're like, it's a weapon. You can't have this, you know. And I can't speak Italian. I'm sorry, so I had to find someone that could understand me to go, "Oi, this is a sacred instrument. It's actually like the oldest wind instrument in the world. Like, I'm not going to hurt anyone." And they had to find it and dig it out of this big pile, because this pile, man, it was huge. Yeah, and it was just umbrellas and all these things. And then there's just this didge sitting on the side. And then it got lost. It got lost, and it ended up in more countries than I ever went to before it come home. And yeah, it's interesting.
It's well traveled.
It's well traveled.
Yeah, some amazing. Like, you know, we could go on for hours here.
We
could just entertain us with stories and all that sort of thing. You got a couple more questions,
Nelson? I've got one more question. I think, you know, there's so much talking about the youth and people coming through in Australia. There's so many musical people out there and musicians who are trying to make it.
Yeah.
As a musician who's well and truly, you know, made it and continuing to go, what advice do you have for those up-and-coming musicians?
It sounds corny, but you just got to be yourself. And that's all there is to it. Like, we live in a world where you can be so cookie-cutter and, oh, this song's trending, you should make something like that, or why don't you jump on this, do that. But the truth of the matter is you have to be true to yourself and just put out what's in your heart. You know, and it sounds corny, but I think the moment you become a robot in music is the moment it's just best to put it down, because music's a creative expression, and that's what it's meant to be. It's meant to be something that comes from the heart, and it's an extension of who you are. And like, I never once said, I want to be a singer. I want to be, you know, what I did say is, well, I want to represent, and I'm a Gimme the Roy man, and let's get it. People need to know that we're alive, we're surviving, and we're thriving. And I'm pumped about that. And I just had a friend that saw something in me through all the cultural shows he'd been to. And I got down. I was in my kitchen. That's where he set it up. I was in a small place. And I sat there and I was like, I'm going to sing. Not because I want to be a singer. I didn't even think of it. It's actually taken me years to actually be able to say to someone, yeah, I'm a singer. Because to me, I've always just, no, I'm a cultural man. We just represent. That's really it. And I say all that because I went down music because it became an extension of who I am and what's inside of me. And to me, it's like, even now in doing songs and all that kind of thing, outside of obviously the versions of Great Southern Land and stuff, but even still, I find it really hard to own it, because as you would know, brothers, it's we don't really take credit, because it's like our ancestors live in us and we're just a living extension of all their hard work and what they had to survive so we could be in this privileged spot. And I mean, I know the stats are all the, I know all that, but at the end of the day, man, compared to 1967, I'm here on a radio station with another black fella having an interview, talking about culture, celebrating. That's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
So, and that we're only here doing that because of all that's come before us, and we've got to acknowledge and realize that. So for me, it's some days, you know, I'm in a deadly suit about to do something in front of millions of people, you know, collectively, and you just can't grow an ego. He's just like, this isn't me. I'm just a vessel for all them old people that laid it down before me.
We certainly walk on the shoulders of giants. Yeah.
We do.
That is nicely put.
Yeah.
For those that have just joined us, we're chatting with Mitch Tambo, and we've got Nelson from Community Nulu.
Yeah, Community Nulu. I love that name, by the way.
You need to check it out. Is it on demand, Nelson? Is it available on rebroadcast, or will be on 3mdr.com, but does Yarra Valley FM have the
I've got all the recordings and stuff. I'm actually going to release them as mini podcasts and things like that. It's been a crazy journey. I used to go in as a guest to just, you know, whether it be NAIDOC Week or Reconciliation Week and talk, and they just really liked me, and they grabbed me and said, it'd be great if you could do a radio show. And I said,
did you go, what?
Well, I did, of course. I said, yeah, no worries. Let me have a think. And I come back with this idea of Community Nulu. Nulu's it's a Tangerang word, but also a Woiwurrung word for voices.
Okay,
so awesome. Community voices.
There we go. I've learned something. Yeah. You know, this is it. I've got to learn something every day.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. I said, you know, I'd love to interview people, bring people in, you know, Indigenous culture being at the forefront of the show, but Indigenous and non-Indigenous guests and how cultures affected their life or played a part in their life, and essentially giving people a limelight who I think do some incredible work in community,
yes,
but don't get the recognition I believe they deserve.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of episodes, and there was one on footy teams,
yeah,
and the women's league, and also a teacher that was teaching up in the Tiwi Islands,
yeah,
and things like really good conversations. You know, it just seems relaxed and flowing.
Yeah,
and things. So I highly recommend that, folks. Community Nulu on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Yes,
on a Friday morning.
Yep.
Is it Friday morning?
Nearly 12. 12 to
12 1. O'clock. So, oh, okay. So from the
I think it's, fr- it's Friday morning here.
Friday morning here.
Friday morning here.
I think there was a Friday morning somewhere in there, Nelson.
There is, you're
And we've got a couple of nice messages. Tina, who's currently house-sitting and maybe pet-sitting over in Lilydale, is enjoying the chat this morning. And the beautiful Caitlin over there in Northland, New Zealand. And, of course, New Zealand's had its colonisation. And things, there's been a bit of a resurgence of, you know, Indigenous culture coming to the fore, bubbling back up to the surface, you know, where it's always belonged, in the whole melting pot of all the beautiful things, particularly music. I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, where would we be without it?
That's right.
And particularly for sharing stories and things like that, Mitch, and you know, being able to perform and share those stories in music.
Yes,
with the kids and. You know, the kids at heart.
Yes.
As well.
Good morning to Lilydale in New Zealand. And by the way, I always thought, you know, growing up in Tamme, Lilydale chicken was from there. It's not, is it?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
That's, you know, I shouldn't get negative in the morning, but I have to say it did hurt my heart a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's pretty hard to figure out what's going on anywhere.
In Tamworth?
Who's who in the zoo sort of thing, yeah, and that sort of thing. Tamworth, you know, because that's a massive country music sort of scene, isn't it?
It is. That's my favourite genre. You know what? I never realised I was a country boy until I moved here. I was always in denial, like, that's not
really?
Me, man. I'm city. I'm not that. Until I was walking down the street one day in suburbia to the gym, and I was pumping Alan Jackson, and I was like, oh,
I am
you're
country.
A country dude, man. You own it. You grew up swimming in the river.
You know, I'm sort of really enjoying a bit of, you know, country flavours.
Yeah, it's popping off right now.
And like it is, yeah, super popular, but, you know, a bit of alt country, and they call it Americana and that sort of style and things like that. It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, so good
stuff.
Now, have we got more questions, Nelson, or are we going
to Nelson, man, do it to me?
I wore him out. That's the questions that you know that I had written down, but I'm done from that point of view, Paige. Have you got anything rattling off your brain?
How about we pop on a tune? I don't know if you can keep hanging around.
Do
Mitch.
It, man. Pop
like,
on a tune.
Awesome. We'll have a little chat again after this. So this is Heal.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about this tune?
Yeah.
Please?
So
it sounds
Heal,
like it's got a positive message.
Heal was just before lockdown. We played 3 stadium shows. So I sung with John Farnham, Olivia Newton, John Brian May in front of about 80,000. And then we went and did the cricket T20. And then we went and did the NRL. And we come back home and got locked down for 2 years. And I was like, man, what are we going to do? Wow, what's just happened? So I got with a mate and sat in his garage and I said, I want to write this big dance banger. Let's do it. And I put this lyric down and we wrote it and I looked back at it and I said to my wife, wow, I think I've actually written about my grief from losing my dad. So there's two sides to the story. So the first part of the song is calling the old people to bring the rain to wash our country and let the river flow again, because where I'm from, we're river people, and you know, you get a lot of runoff and chemicals, and for us to be able to go and bathe in that river, it's really healing for us, you know. And then on the flip side, it's like looking at your spirit and your internal as that river system, and when we go through trials and tribulations in life, like grief and loss or whatever it is, and we're so pressed to move on, because all these obligations and commitments, we don't acknowledge them properly. And then 6 years later, you're just bawling your eyes out and you're like, oh, it's because I never dealt with that way back there. Mm. So it's about going back up that river, finding whatever it is and letting it go and setting yourself free. Because I believe, you know what, we weren't born to be enslaved to all the things that life can chuck at us.
It's
you know?
Bizarre,
and if
man.
We can I'll let it go, we can just have such a beautiful life. And also the reflective of, it's not like the wins in life that define who we are. It's all a negative. And, that epiphany through the song was like, wow, it's grief, it's this and that that has defined the human being I'm becoming. It's not like 2 golden buzzers and number ones that are, you know, they're
yeah,
great.
We haven't
but,
even touched on that
you
sort
know,
of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you've packed a lot in your youthful years.
We've gone pretty hard, hard as we can. But, yeah, heals about that. So to anyone out there this morning that's going through something that's doing it tough, I just want you to know that whatever the sun rises tomorrow, it's another crack to have another go. And you're never alone. No matter what you're going through in this world, you're never alone. And even if you feel alone right now, you know, tonight if the clouds in Melbourne do us a favour and depart and you look up in them stars, it's not hard to take a deep breath and go, wow, there really is beauty out there, and I really am worth it. So hang in there, and this song's for you. Good morning.
Beautifully put, and it's just a little call out too to sort of, you know, care for country, and just how important it is to to all of us.
Totally.
And sort of, like, if we haven't got our natural environment,
we're finished.
Looking after us, we are doomed.
We're
so
we're doomed. But
let's do a little bit of healing. We do get a bit dark on the Imaginary Friend show, Mitch. Yeah. We don't mind throwing people around the
You're
room.
You're doomed. A bit. Put your rubbish in the bin.
Let's do some healing. This is Heal. Mitch Tambo on 3MDR 97.1. Banger, Mitch. It is a banger.
Phew, lucky you said that, because I didn't know where we were going to go.
That was Heal by Mitch Tambo, who's still in the studios here at Forest Park Homestead. And we've got Nelson from Community Nulu on the panel as well. And great to have your company. That is a really lovely tune you mentioned,
you.
Actually, while that was getting into people's ears out there. Yes. That you've done a stripped-back version. So I'm going to have to hunt that down.
Please do, yeah.
And things, because I do like... just like plain piano and vocals and things.
Yeah, it's a bit different. So, yeah, check it out, because I'd never performed it before. And then I went on tour last year for Burn the Floor, and that's the version they wanted. And I was like, oh, no, this is going to be deep and very stripped back. And it was beautiful. So, yep. Glad to have it out.
Yeah, Heal by Mitch Tambo on 3MDR. We're going to send out a cheerio to Nat. Nice to hear from you on the SMS line, 0497102000. Now, Mitch, you've got to get over.
I've got to go and set up for this party.
Jump the school fence before the school bell goes. Fence.
Not jumping out of it, I'm jumping in it. That's jumping a bit different.
Yeah, it just doesn't normally work that way, does it?
No.
And things. Well, thank you so much for joining
no
us
worries.
On the program this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks
and
for
having me. Have a great time over the fence at the primary school.
Thank you.
Performing
thank you.
For the students there. And I think, you know, if you can just keep spreading the word and getting into young people's ears and hearts,
yeah.
And things, you'll be doing a marvellous thing.
Appreciate it. So, thanks for your time this morning, lads. Really appreciate it, brother. And, yeah, it's good to have a chat and just you just pump me up now for the day because I know you're trying to get off the coffee, but I've been off it for a long time. So it's good to get pumped up with good conversation.
That's it. Glass of water, Mitch. You'll be all right
water,
there,
that's
mate.
It. That's good. All right, fellas, that's take care. And everyone out there, thanks for having me. Thanks for listening. And you can find me everywhere. Just type in the name Mitch Tambo. And to all the parents, get ready, all right? Because we're about to have some fun today with your kids. Take care. Yanni Ungali.
Mitch Tambo on 3MDR 97.1 FM. Some bloke in Eltham's enjoying the program too this morning. And as is Damo in Murrumbina. So, yeah, lots of people enjoying that little chat. So good on you. Thanks for your time, Mitch, and all the best. And, yeah, hopefully we can do it again when you're on tour next time.
Let's do
it. And if you're performing in the local area and things like that.
For sure.